Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Red tide. Now, is this really something that people can relate to?
If they go down to Florida, they can. I mean, how many vacations have been ruined at this point?
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of dead fish and your eyes burn like mustard gas.
Now, Aria, you're from Mississippi, but northern Mississippi, right?
Correct.
Okay, so did you spend much time near the coast?
No.
Okay, so you can't probably relate. Do you know what red tide is?
No.
Okay, see, I think there's a lot of people listening.
Oh, I think that's true.
Yeah, who don't know anything about this.
I think that's true, but I think they've heard in many cases. So you have to think about the amount of people who've gone. In the last 2 years, mm-hmm. red tide has been terrible.
It's worse?
In Florida, yes. You see, you're so out of touch with this stuff.
Yeah, I don't live in Florida.
Well, and you don't go on Facebook anymore, where they complain about it constantly.
Yeah.
And, you know, red tides become terrible, like half the year, it seems
really?
Like. Yes, it's not just the, oh,
so,
man.
So what is it?
It's a stinky thing, man. It is just, like, death. The smell of rotting fish, basically, that just, I don't even know if that's accurate, but it's, like, the best thing that I can relate it to, that just kind of wafts in constantly, basically, during certain periods
of
time.
So you go to the beach to have a nice day, and
you're disgusted.
During the height of the past summer's toxic algae bloom, a team of researchers from Florida Gulf Coast University took water samples from the Gulf of Mexico, the Caloosahatchee River, Lake Okeechobee, and to try to identify a common source of pollution. The samples were sent to labs across the country to have their nitrogen compounds analyzed to find out where tested nitrates originated from. Dr. William Misick, who is the leading FGCU's research efforts, and announced the test results during a lecture series discussion Thursday night at the Everglades Wetland Research Park in Naples. Take it to the bank. Red tide is mostly caused on our coastline by nitrate fertilizer. Now, this is what we'd been saying for years on the Gulf Coast, is that the farmers are using too many synthetic fertilizers, and they're causing this stuff. And, you know, the libertarian message is that if you put something on your property and it runs off your property and affects somebody else's property,
mm-hmm.
that's aggression. What's algae?
I have no idea.
It's plants.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a science guy.
I'm not, man.
Okay.
I'm straight up. I'll admit to you. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, good. Algae, plants, fertilizer to make plants grow, right?
Okay.
So you dump fertilizer in a place with algae, what's going to happen to the algae?
It's going to grow.
Excellent.
I see.
And if you get enough algae grow,
yeah.
then it sucks up all the oxygen in the water, right? And the fish die.
Okay, and that's why, is that where the smell comes from, is from the dead fish, or does the algae itself
now,
also generate the scent?
I don't know. I think that must be the algae.
Huh.
Because it, you know, the waves coming in on the Gulf, you know, aerosolizes it.
Well, according to Live Science, what causes a red tide? Red tides aren't just the scourge of beachgoers. They're deadly to marine life like fish, birds, and even manatees, and can have a serious impact on human health as well. Red tide occurs when the population of certain kinds of algae, known as dinoflagellates, explodes, creating what's called an algal bloom. Scientists sometimes refer to red tides as harmful algal blooms, or HABs. When millions of these microscopic algae reproduce and cluster in one area of the ocean, they can actually change the color of the water. So this we weren't sure about earlier when you'd asked, Aria, and neither you or I, Mark, had really ever noticed an actual red coloring to the water. But according to this, it can happen. A number of factors can cause an algal bloom to grow. Low salinity, a high nutrient content in the water. That would be the nitrates, right?
Yep.
And warmer than usual surface water temperatures are usually cited as contributing to a red tide's formation. The algae linked to red tides contain a toxin that affects the nervous and digestive systems of animals. Red tides are usually accompanied by a massive die-off of fish, as well as the birds and other animals that feed on those fish.
When you see a big fish washed up on the beach, I mean, little fish, you see it all the time with red tide, but when you see mm-hmm. a big fish, it's a pretty saddening
Shocking.
Experience
yeah.
because you're like, huh, somebody could have caught this fish and fed their family. This fish could have bred and created more fish. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, here it is lying on the beach dead because, well, we're just polluting the water all the time. And look, libertarians have a very difficult time with this whole environmental issue because they Definitely. Never want to hold the people responsible.
Well, how do you hold people responsible in the case here? Because we're still not sure about anything, right? Like, this is just a scientific study that has been done. Maybe it wasn't even scientific. I don't know. It was science. People from a university went and they measured some stuff. And, you know, the professor in charge says, aha!
Well, I think ideally, you know, we would take him to a civilian court, mm-hmm. present the case, and have a jury determine whether
Why
or not
the evidence
was sound.
Why would you want to have a jury do it? I mean, look,
that
if we're talking...
Because the well...
I would trust the judgment of 12 people more than I trust the judgment of one person.
Bobby, are there any rednecks in Lakeland, Florida?
Oh, yes. Yeah. 100%.
We used to play them in football.
Oh, yeah.
My God, those corn-fed country boys.
Now, it's funny because my parents moved from Detroit after the 64 riots. And anyway, so I don't have much of an accent, which is weird, but I grew up for 17 years in South Carolina. And then for the past 13 years, I've been in Florida. So anyways, I was explaining about this whole red tide deal. I called Captain Mike Anderson. He's on 970 WFLA in Florida.
Big station.
Tampa.
Yes, great yes, station.
Absolutely. And so what happened? So this is what's going on with this red tide. Big Sugar has taken over south of Lake Okeechobee.
Okay.
And now what they did with Lake Okeechobee, they started diverting water from Lake Okeechobee to their Big Sugar farms,
okay.
which, Mark, you are correct. It is from the nitrates. Now, from the nitrates is coming from Big Sugar. Now, what Big Sugar did was they started to take the water and then infiltrate it down to their Big Sugar farms, which a guy asked me in the Discord chat, well, what about Small Sugar? There's no Small Sugar anymore. And now all that nitrate is running into the Gulf and causing this red tide into the Gulf, which is these guys. I talked to a captain Mike Anderson, and he's never seen this in the 30 years he's been here.
Yeah,
he's never seen it as bad. And it's from the nitrates runoff from Big Sugar, which the government subsidizes to fill their pocket. I'm sure politicians are involved in making money.
But you're
off
talking about Okeechobee, that's down in the south part of the state, right?
That's like, correct.
Are you saying that that's affecting the northern portions or the
100%.
Central portions of the
up
Gulf of Mexico?
Sarasota, up to Tampa Bay.
Well, the Caloosahatchee River comes off of Lake Okeechobee. Well, there's the Okeechobee Waterway, uh-huh. which is a canal system that's drawn through there. So the Caloosahatchee, that empties out into the Caloosahatchee. I'm not exactly sure that it comes like right at the head of it or anything, but it comes out into the Caloosahatchee. Then the Caloosahatchee goes out into the Gulf. If there's counterclockwise, Gulf rotations or whatever going on, then yeah, you're darn right that stuff's going to head up that way.
Yeah, and so it's all government intervention causing crap happening to cause dead, not just fish, like you're saying, and you mentioned the manatees, dolphins. We've had whales wash up on shore, and this is the worst. And I've talked to captains out that go out and they do charters and stuff, and they've never seen it as bad as it has been in the past year.
They say here that a number of factors can cause algae's or the algal bloom to grow: low salinity, high nutrient content in the water, and a warmer-than-usual surface water temperatures are frequently cited as contributing to the red tide's formation. They usually are accompanied by a massive die-off of fish, as well as birds and other animals. Even the larger animals that feed on the fish, shellfish, and other marine life can be killed if they consume enough of the toxin. A red tide in Florida, now this was written in 2013. Back in 2013, it has been blamed for a significant die-off of manatees, while another red tide in 2012 may have caused a large number of squid deaths in California. Humans are also vulnerable to the toxic effects of a red tide. Wave action can release the algae's toxins into the air.
That's what I said. I'm a genius.
Causing respiratory problems among people near the shoreline, particularly those with asthma, emphysema, or other respiratory illnesses.
Yeah, this is the reason that you will see this problem solved.
No, see,
because the rich people,
I'm not sure it can be solved.
Aren't going to put up with this.
I'm not sure it can be solved, other than letting nature take its course and letting some aquatic life evolved that consumes red algae.
Well, the toxins can accumulate in shellfish, and because of that, red tides often cause outbreaks of parasitic shellfish poisoning, PSP, and amnesiac shellfish poisoning, ASP. Both illnesses affect the nervous system.
I'm not sure what that means. Never heard of amnesia.
Well, what do you think? What is amnesia?
I got it.
Well, what is it?
It's when you can't remember things.
ASP can cause dizziness and disorientation. And in extreme cases, PSP can cause respiratory paralysis, resulting in death by asphyxiation.
This can happen in humans from eating animals affected by the red algae?
Is that what they're saying? You probably don't want to eat the shellfish that's been red-tided.
It's marinated in red-tided.
Red tides occur worldwide, and so there it goes, not just Florida, worldwide, and some reports indicate their occurrence is on the rise. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the phenomenon now takes place almost every summer along Florida's Gulf Coast, for example. Global warming may be contributing to the increase, they say. Researchers at NOAA use computer models to determine how warming ocean temperatures might change the timing and frequency of the algal blooms associated with red tides, which would explain why it's not happening as much during the winter.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not a gardener. But it made me think back to my time when I worked in the garden shop. Now, again, I was the worst person for garden shop at the Big K, right? Like, normally I was in the electronics department. That's the department I wanted to work in. But, you know, it's retail. They kind of put you where they need you. And there was at least a couple summers where I spent a fair amount of time running the register out in garden shop, you know, doing my best to try to help old ladies find the thing they were looking for when not actually knowing what it was that they were looking for, just sort of, you know, bumping around trying to find the thing, basically.
That's kind of how big box retail
that's
goes.
Retail, yeah. But
you want somebody who can find the thing you're looking for, go to Ace Hardware or, you know, one of the little retailers, garden shops, one of your local nurseries, something like that.
You know, largely through osmosis, you know, contact with the products, I learned a little bit about what these fertilizers are. And they all have the numbers on them. Mark, you talked about the different numbers that represent specific types of, nutrients, I guess, that NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And then there's some other minor nutrients. And there's different mixes in the different the different bags. So this story over here from GardenMyths.com is talking about what is an organic fertilizer. Because I thought, well, if they have nitrites in these synthetics, then they must also exist in the organics. Plants get almost all nutrients through their roots. You can think of the outside wall of the root as having small holes or pores, and these holes are used to let certain molecules into the root. The process is more complex than this, but it's not a bad analogy. These holes are quite small, and so only small molecules can get through them.
It's like the internet. It's a series of tubes.
Yeah. Water molecules consisting of H2O are small enough, and they get into the root. Nitrate is also a small molecule, NO3, and it's also absorbed into the root. Other nutrients such as phosphorus, potassium, iron, magnesium are all small enough to enter the roots. Large molecules like proteins, DNA, carbohydrates, etc. are huge in size compared to the nutrients. They don't just fit through the holes. In fact, most organic molecules fall into this category. Plants can't use most organic molecules found in the soil. Almost all of the organic material in compost, manure, etc. is of little use to plants. They simply can't get the molecules into their roots. Large organic molecules do contain nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, iron, for example, but in the organic form, they're too big to get into the roots.
This guy's saying that organic fertilizer doesn't work?
For example, protein is a good source of iron, but because protein molecules are so big, plants cannot use the iron contained in the protein. Eventually, these large organic molecules do break down, and when they do, the small nutrient molecules are released, and then the plants can use them. So that's the time release that you were talking about there.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about this idea that I've been spreading for a couple of decades now.
Okay.
You know, how the individual is greater than local government, is greater than state government, is greater than federal government.
All right. I think I don't think you're going to find much disagreement among the show hosts here on this one. The idea that the individual is should be the highest level of all those things.
Exactly. Like there are, I think, 89,000 local governments in the United States, and that's like giving one babysitter 89,000 children. Like, we need to reverse that. It would be a whole lot better if the local government took care of everything and what they could not, the state. And then
why would that be better?
The federal government. Sorry.
Why would that be better?
He believes what? He said the F-bomb.
I didn't even hear it.
I didn't really hear it either.
I didn't hear anything.
Okay, maybe you got talked over.
So I didn't dump you, so keep going. What were you saying?
I just think that people should focus on local government more than anything. Show up to city council.
I would make the argument that there is no more accountability at the local level, and that any that we perceive is probably just illusory.
All right, what do you base that on?
What could we actually do to change the smoking ban here in Keene?
It would not be easy.
Assuming, I mean, even if 99% of the people are against it, or the sign for the Vietnamese or Korean restaurant.
The soon-to-open Vietnamese restaurant, which has been, by the way, the T-shirts for Pho Keene Great. That's the name of the restaurant. It's Pho Noodles in the town of Keene, and it's great, so that's the name. These shirts have been flying off the shelves. They have not been on shelves. They've been sold before they've even arrived.
How many
basically.
Do you think have been sold?
Over 1,000. I was just there. I was just there at the T-shirt sales operation. It used to be the Bitcoin Embassy. It is now currently being used for primarily
Pho Keene Great T-shirt dispensary.
And orders have been coming in from all over the world.
Mexico, we're rated number one state with the most dangerous places to live for senior citizens.
The most dangerous place to live for senior citizens. So what is killing off the senior citizens in New Mexico?
Well, you know what it is. We're number one in pedestrian fatalities. What else?
So you think the pedestrians...
I mean, they're all getting killed by cars. You know, the people that get killed by the car the most are elderly people.
When I looked up pedestrian deaths in New Mexico, I was seeing a notable. There's notable that there were lots of drunks that were getting run over. Are they drunk?
Yeah,
are they
also,
drunk old people?
Well, and then also the elderly.
Okay,
because they have vision problems, they have hearing problems, they got bad knees.
So old
bad,
people are running over old people. Sounds like Darwinism.
I got to say, when I visited Venice, Florida, and...
You mean the place where the old people's grandparents go to die?
That's the joke in Sarasota, is everybody's grandparents live in Sarasota, and their parents live in Venice.
It's so true.
Yeah, they're turning left from the right lane, right from the left lane.
You constantly see these little old ladies, you can barely see the poof of their hair above the steering wheel, you know? Like, they can't see anything. Thing. I am not doing a very persuasive job at making my case that
because it doesn't work
that you can hold local politicians more accountable.
No, and I think it would actually be harder as I sit here thinking about it because
why?
You get someone like Rivera and his family is going to support him no matter what.
Sure,
his church group is going to support him no matter what.
Yep.
I mean, you start getting into that good old boys kind of thing going on where it really doesn't matter what he's do, they're going to. Through some combination of cognitive dissonance or just through sheer willful disbelief, always
or out and out violence.
The person they know.
Or out and out violence of actually targeting you and coming after you, destroying your property, trumping up charges. You're right. If you mess with the good old boys, there's some tough times that could befall you as
and
a result.
I think
of
it's
that.
Worth pointing out that you have been a really good activist here in Keene, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. You do not.
Some would say I'm a terrible activist, but you know.
Meaning.
It's all about- Well, it's you're all too kinds active? Of opinions exist about the activism that has happened in Keene.
Yeah, but as far as a critique goes, mm-hmm. you support the other activists, you're out there, you're doing stuff all the time, and at this point, you have, for whatever reason, the people of Keene, New Hampshire, many of them, some large percentage of them, I don't know if it's a majority, a plurality, or whatever, but you're infamous. I've lived here for 12 years now. Mm-hmm. I know what people think about you. They know what they're supposed to think.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to think something bad. Yeah. They're not entirely sure why or how or what you've done, but there's always something that somebody can mention.
We've already seen the evidence that these people can be not forced out of office, but incentivized to leave office by their life being difficult. And so if you make their life more difficult by, let's say, you know, protesting in front of their house or letter writing campaigns or whatever it is that bugs them, then that's more likely to drive them out. If you have enough activists to do these sorts of things, and we have a good amount of activists here in New Hampshire that hopefully will just keep growing larger over time, it'll make things more and more uncomfortable for these people over time. If at the same time you have libertarians running as, let's say, Republicans or Democrats, and maybe even as libertarians in these races to replace them when they leave, there's a good chance that some liberty-minded folks are going to get elected to replace them. So over time, we can see a shift. Keene is one of the toughest places because it's an entrenched statist bureaucracy. It's in the corner of Vermont and Massachusetts. There's a college here. It's one of the most statist places in New Hampshire. But over time, throughout the state, this is a possibility. It is possible to frustrate these people to the point they're just, $100 ain't worth it. I don't have enough power. I'm gone. Right? These are people who have, in many cases, if they're not retired.
That's not an argument for local. That's an argument for state.
But it's still, they're more accountable because they're closer. At that 400 state representatives, one representative only represents, if you do the math, into like 1.4 million.
I was just wondering what your opinions are on third wave feminism.
What is third wave feminism, John?
It's like the newest form of feminism where it's like feminism you see in today's media.
So, like, it's new and improved, whites.
Can you give us an example?
All right. I don't know what that was, but it sounded like music. And this is a talk show, so we're not here to listen to music. Thank you for the call tonight. But are you guys familiar with these different waves of feminism?
I'm familiar with misogynists generally using it as a pejorative against feminists. I'm not familiar with anyone actually sitting down to identify what they consider to be third wave feminism?
Well, I'll go ahead and take a shot at it. Pretty much anything that comes after equality under the law.
That was the first wave feminism.
No,
right?
First wave feminism is temperance and voting.
Okay.
Second wave feminism, I would say, is basically the culmination of all that and the equality under the law, that kind of thing. Maybe some level of equal pay, talk. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, what in many cases we've seen over time is that the equal pay it's equal when you start looking at the hours and the jobs worked, but not necessarily, man, male to female.
By the way, another part of the feminist movement, believe it or not, had the sexist math books. You wonder, how can a math book be sexist? When, the math problems, they were word problems like, John makes $40 a week and Mary makes $20 a month. How much do they make in a total of a year? And you're supposed to add it all up, but mm-hmm. It subconsciously conditions girls to expect that they should make less than their boys. But
all right.
What I'm calling about today is about the government shutdown. Remind people.
It's continuing. It's a world record, or at least U.S. record. I don't know if it's a world record, but it's a record for the United States.
Somalia, world anarchy leader.
What they got to do? Well, if people got nothing to do tomorrow, you can call up congressional offices and tell them, first of all, the strategy is going to have to be to override the president's veto. And if the Senate won't take up the bill because Mitch McConnell won't consider bills from the House that the president is going to veto, then it's his fault too. But be sure that you pass a budget that doesn't have any money for the Department of Education and no money.
Is Department of Education on the current list of those that are shut down? Do you happen to know?
I don't know, but the Department of Education, remember, it has like no place in the Constitution.
I hope the government stays shut down. I hope we have group of young people that suddenly realize that the government's not doing anything for them. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it could stay down. It could stay until at least another 2 years, but we'll probably get somebody to acquiesce at some point.
Yeah, somebody's going to break.
Well, right now, I think the general perception among young people is that it's an enormous inconvenience and that it's very, very bad. I think that it will have to go on for years.
How are they being inconvenienced?
Well, they can't go to the national parks and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you guys report on Call to Freedom today that libertarians were threatened that they couldn't pick up litter at a couple national parks?
Well, they weren't threatened. They were just told to leave.
Well, that's a threat because you stick around, what happens?
They can call the Working for Free FBI, I suppose.
I doubt the FBI is going to investigate an incident of an unauthorized park cleanup, but the park rangers probably have guns and handcuffs. And if they order you to leave a place and
they sure are scary.
Then that's generally considered criminal trespass at that point. So that would be a criminal misdemeanor, likely arrest in that case. Although I haven't seen the video. Did you watch it? Was there video? Did you watch any of it?
I don't recall.
I don't know if there's video of this, but if a park ranger is saying you're not welcome, well, I would have some questions.
Yes, you would.
In that particular
case. He's right, Arya. He would have some questions.
They should have. And, you know, again, I don't know if they had these questions or they had any questions or recorded video, but they should have. That way we could, you know, you could say, well, are you ordering me to leave or are you just asking me to leave?